Brethren and sisters in Australasia. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. February 24, 1900. To my brethren and sisters in Australasia. We have prayed most earnestly that God would send the help we needed in the school this year, and we believe that He has done this. We can say to the praise of God that our school this year, we have the best faculty we have ever had. We have also an excellent class of students, but we feel sorry that there are not more in attendance. There should be many more students at the school, and we now invite our churches to do all they can to send students. Here they will have a precious opportunity for gaining a knowledge of present truth. Brethren and sisters, what will you do to create a fund to be used in sending to the school students who wish to attend, but who have not money to pay their way? Our young people who do not attend this term of school will lose much. We do not know how much. God helps those who place themselves where they can best be qualified for His service. Divine power unites with earnest seeker for truth, giving him the fitness he needs for God's work. Daniel placed himself in right relation to God and to his outward circumstances and opportunities. He was taken as a captive to Babylon, and with others was placed under training to be prepared for a place in the king's court. His food and drink were appointed him, but we read that he determined that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. In taking this step, Daniel did not act rashly. He knew that by the time he was called to appear before the king, the advantage of health reform would be apparent. Cause would be followed by effect. Daniel said to Melzar, who had been given charge of him and his companions, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." Daniel knew that 10 days would be time enough to prove the benefit of abstemiousness. "Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." Daniel 1, verse 12, 13. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verses 14 to 17. From this, we see what an important part a simple diet acts in preparing students to hold positions of trust. Students should cooperate with God by abstaining from all food which will tax the physical powers and becloud the mental faculties. Having done this, Daniel and his companions did still more. They did not choose as companions those who were agents of the Prince of Darkness. They did not go with a multitude to do evil. They secured Melzar as their friend, and there was no friction between him and them. They went to him for advice, and at the same time educated him by the wisdom of their deportment. It was God's purpose that these youth should become channels of light in the kingdom of Babylon. Satan was determined to defeat this purpose. He worked upon the minds of the youth who had refused to be God's representatives, causing them to be jealous of Daniel and his companions. At Satan's suggestion, they laid plans to entrap those who were making such steady, rapid advancement in knowledge. There were those who tried to deceive and mislead Daniel and his companions, who tried by flattery to induce them to enter into wrong. But they failed signally, because these youth had on the armor of light. They fastened themselves to the promise, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Isaiah 27, verse 5. They knew that they must keep the eye of the mind single to the glory of God, that they must seek wisdom and strength and grace from on high. They must not allow themselves to be led by smiles or frowns to yield to the sophistry of Satan. They knew that no human power could be to them wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Satan was trying to compass their destruction. Nothing but wisdom and strength and firmness and heroism which God would enable them to maintain their position in the way of holiness. They knew that they were not yet fully acquainted with the character of Satan's enmity. They would have to watch unto prayer, for they were ignorant of the obstacles they would have to meet and surmount. They knew that barriers would rise to bar their way, that embarrassment would surround them on every side. They made a faithful study of the Word of God, that they might know the divine will. By faith they believed that the one whom they served would communicate to them his will. And in answer to their faith, God opened his word to them. The Old Testament was to them a light shining in a dark place. They made the word of God their textbook, looking upon it as the foundation upon which they must build character. They had only the Old Testament. The youth of today have increased light. The Bible teaches the whole duty of men, women, and children. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16-17. Divine wisdom came to Daniel and his companions as they studied the Word. They knew that this Word was their authority and that it demanded their obedience. The truth was to them of the highest importance, for it placed their duty before them in a clear light. Satan often cast his shadow across their pathway to obscure their view of divine light and darken their faith and confidence in God. But they would not yield, and the Lord gave them wisdom and power to prevail with him in prayer. As they followed the course of study outlined for them in the courts of Babylon, they made it their aim to become statesmen who would never sacrifice principle in order to obtain advantages for themselves. They knew that they were in an enemy's country, under the power of the Babylonian king, and they were obedient in all things save where they were asked to sacrifice principle. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel 1, verse 18-20. He who gave wisdom and understanding to Daniel is willing to give wisdom and understanding to all who place themselves in the same relation to him that Daniel did. We desire every youth to realize that none need have a superficial education. Read how Paul enjoined on Timothy constancy and perseverance, and the faithful performance of duty. "Thou therefore, my son," he wrote, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 3, 15. Work for God with humility and earnestness, teaching the truth from love to God and to man. Untold good is accomplished by the faithful, humble Christian who prays and lives his prayers. Will not our churches in the colonies do what they can to assist in sending to the school students who wish to prepare for missionary work? Our school is not a reformatory, and we do not wish to have students come who have made up their minds to be unmanageable, who will not submit. Such students make the work of the teachers exceedingly hard, and their influence over the other students is detrimental. We want students who can be educated to reach those belonging to the higher classes who have been sadly neglected. Is no effort to be put forth for them? Do they not need a Savior? Few among them go to church, for they realize that they receive no benefit there. The teaching which they hear does not touch the soul. They want something which they have not. Are we to make no personal efforts in their behalf? Cannot we do the highest kind of missionary work in this line? Are there not those who will take the burden of this work, who will make it their aim to obtain qualifications which will enable them to work successfully for the higher classes? God calls for earnest, humble workers who can carry the truth to the higher classes. Those men who bear heavy responsibilities in public life, who act as judges and lawyers, should be given a clear, distinct message. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verse 36-37.
We talk and write of the neglected poor. Might we not better give some attention to the neglected rich? Some ask, will not publications reach them? No, they will not be reached by publications. It is personal effort that they need. Are they to perish without any special warning being given them? It was not so in ancient times. God's servants were sent to tell those in high places that they could find peace and rest only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read how plainly Daniel warned Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, and he related it to Daniel, who interpreted it for him. The tree that thou sawest, he said, which grew and waxed strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion unto the ends of the earth. Daniel 4, verse 20-22. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from among men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Verses 23-27. Thus plainly was the truth spoken to the self-exalted king. And in the providence of God, we shall in the future have opportunity to warn those who stand in the high places of the earth. The judgments declared came upon the king. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built, for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from among men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Verses 29-33. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, or say unto him, "What doest thou?" At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Verses 34-37. What a wonderful history this is! God can so humble kings and nobles when it is for his glory that they will acknowledge that there is a power above themselves. He can cause them to use the tongue in praising him. God will visit his judgments upon those men in responsible positions who feel that they are above all divine law. But there are those in official life who feel their need of something they have not. To them, God will make known that he is the one who controls all affairs of this life. If these men will repent and be converted, God will use them in his cause. Tell them that the Lord can lift up and cast down. Let those who realize the value of the human soul give with earnestness the invitation to the gospel feast. Ask men and women if they are prepared for the future immortal life. While the truth is to be given to those called the great men of the earth, while there is to be no shrinking from this duty, no one who does this work should show forwardness in voice or manner. He whose heart is filled with love for God and man will speak the truth with simplicity. His words will be spoken in the meekness of wisdom, and angels of God will make the impression on hearts. The faithful minister of the gospel is to reach the high and the low. The poor are not to be forgotten, but remember also that there are thousands of rich men who are starving for spiritual food. They want something they have not. Are we to make no personal efforts in their behalf? The message has not been given as it should to the higher classes. The lower classes have received more attention than the higher class. From the light given me, I know that the plain "Thus saith the Lord" should be spoken to those men who have influence and authority in the world. God will bless the worker who will faithfully do his work. The righteousness of Christ will go before him, and the glory of God will be his rearward. The greatest men of this earth are not beyond the power of a wonder-working God. He will convert those who occupy responsible places, men of intellect and influence, if those who are laborers together with him will be men of opportunity, doing their duty bravely and faithfully. There is a great crisis before us. Humanity is to be given the testimony that there is a God who rules over all. In the time before us, God will work through his servants as he did through Daniel. Upon our churches rests the solemn responsibility of giving the youth who wish to become workers for God an opportunity of obtaining a knowledge of Bible truth. We greatly desire that the young men and women in our churches who need the benefits of the school shall attend during this term. We have secured the very best teachers, and we wish to see more students here. We have not had to go to the expense of erecting more buildings, but there is still a debt on the buildings already erected. My brethren and sisters, will you not do all you can to help the school? You can do this by sending students and paying their tuition in advance. We need in the school young men and young women who can be educated to be church school teachers. In every church, there is need of a church school. If there are two or three small churches close together, these should unite in supporting a teacher who can give children a true education. Parents, take your children away from the influences of the world. Let everything be done for them that can be done. They need to be taught the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. They need to be taught that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We need an army of workers to give the warning message to the world. Every town from Corinbong to Queensland is to be worked. We are to press onward and still onward. We desire the youth to obtain an education which will enable them to educate others. The gospel of Christ lies at the foundation of all true education and progress. To diffuse light is the great work we are now to do. The truth that Christ is a personal Savior is to be taught so clearly that souls will submit to be led and taught by God, and in their turn, win other souls to Christ. Teachers have come from America to teach our young people how to do this work. Will you allow the work to be hindered for the want of your help? I feel so sorry to think that there are those who are losing the benefits of this term of school. Let not any stay away because they did not come at the first. You know not what a year may bring forth. Make the most of the present opportunity to gain an all-round education, an education which will teach you how to study the Bible and how to handle tools. Then, when you go to a new field, you can help the people in all lines.
We would be pleased to see 100 additional students in the school, obtaining an education and training for work in the Master's Vineyard. I call upon the pastors of our churches to wake up and see what they can do to help the school. I call upon parents to act their part. Parents, your children need the help to be received in the school. The young people in the church need it. Deny self, if necessary, to give it to them. Do you wish to see your children converted? Do you wish to see them working as missionaries for the Master? Then do all in your power to send them to the school. Do your best, and God will help you.